Prepare to set fire to the index card of allowable opinion. Your daily dose of liberty education starts here, The Tom Woods Show.
Hey everybody, Tom Woods here. Welcome to this bonus episode of The Tom Woods Show. One of the happiest things for me about this past year has been my business mastermind that I launched in early 2023. We've now met together in three different cities, and it's been extraordinary. The results are through the roof fantastic. People are raving about it. We got a couple of our members who just forged what is potentially a multi-million dollar partnership, and other people reporting excellent results, enthusiastic to continue on for another year together. And the idea of it is, this is a room full of really smart, successful people, all of whom want to become even more successful. And we give you really, really specific feedback and advice and coaching and guidance through all the difficulties and obstacles that might stand between where you are now and where you'd ideally like to be. It's for people who want to get to that proverbial next level. And in fact, just a few hours ago, this very day that I'm recording this, we just welcomed a new person. Actually, it's a husband and wife team into the mastermind. And judging from the private group we have, using one of those private messaging services, it looks to me as if they may already be well on their way to getting their money's worth out of it within a few hours of joining. So it is an incredibly powerful thing. We've forged really good friendships together. We've had a great time in all these cities, having outstanding food, great entertainment, but also a lot of really, really valuable and hard work. Well, our friend Henry Bingaman, who is a member of the Mastermind and who's been a Tom Woods Show guest, he is a copywriter, which that is to say, he writes words that sell, that is to say, ads, sales pages, emails, that sort of thing. He has sold over $400 million of goods and services with his words. He's in the Mastermind. You think that might be a guy, might be valuable to get to know? You know, hello. Well, he has a podcast called the Practical Liberty Podcast, and he recently dedicated a whole episode of his podcast to talking about my Mastermind and interviewing some of the folks in it. So if you'd like to take a peek and see what it's like to be in a $20,000 a year Mastermind, here you go. Your curiosity will be satisfied. And if you're thinking you are one of the right people to join us in this great, exciting venture where we are going from success to success, then just head to tomwoods.com/mastermind, fill out the form, and let's see if we can find a place for you. All right, here we go with the Mastermind episode of the Practical Liberty Podcast with our good friend, Henry Bingaman.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Practical Liberty. My name's Henry Bingaman, and I have a special on the road episode for you today. This was recorded last weekend at the Tom Woods Mastermind in Las Vegas. So I have a couple disclaimers about this. First of all, it's going to sound like a promotional video for Tom Woods Mastermind. It was not intended to be that. I really think there's benefits in Mastermind, and I really wanted you to meet some of the people that I've now become friends with and in some cases done some business deals with that are in this Mastermind. But it does come off as if we're promoting the Mastermind, which is a great Mastermind. I don't mind supporting it. I endorse it, definitely. But maybe it comes off a little too sycophantic, and I don't mean it to be. The other thing is I was testing out my on-the-road equipment, and I found out that the camera that I bought for recording on the road kind of sucks. It's the Zoom camera. Zoom makes great audio equipment. They do not make good video equipment. So the main video footage that I got from all these interviews that we're going to do, it was unusable. It was way too grainy. So I had some GoPros running as backup cameras, and that's the footage that I had to end up going with, and it's not the best. It's just a little lower quality. The lighting's off. And then the sound equipment that I used, I didn't have everybody wearing headphones, and not everybody is used to holding microphones perfectly still when you talk. In fact, nobody is. I'm not even perfect at it. So without the headphones, there's some rustling and some extra audio sounds that do interfere a little bit with the podcast. Having said that, all of the audio is perfectly audible. You can hear it. You can understand what people are saying. I just have to beg your forgiveness and patience to put up with some of the rustling sounds that are going on in the background. So with that said, these are interviews with almost everyone that was at the podcast. We did miss a couple people. Shreya, unfortunately, didn't come on camera. And I just ran out of time to talk to Kevin Dolan. who's also there. He's part of the exit group. He's been on this podcast at a solo episode before, so he is a huge part of that mastermind, and it really wouldn't be the same without him. So I feel bad that I missed Kevin, but everybody else that was there in Vegas, one person didn't make the event, but everybody else that was there got a chance to talk, including Paul and Tom Woods himself. So I'm going to play those interviews, and then at the end, I'm going to come on and give you some of my own thoughts. So I hope you enjoy this episode with the Tom Woods Mastermind. All right, John, how you doing, man? We're recording, trying to podcast. We're here at the Tom Woods Mastermind in Las Vegas. This is the third live event we've been to with Tom. So can you just introduce yourself for people? You're actually the person that I've worked with the closest in this mastermind since starting. So I figured you'd be the first interview. So can you kind of introduce yourself and what you do? And I guess, who you are, what you do.
All right. My name is John Drotty. I own a CPA firm in Woodstock, Georgia. And what we do is we make small business owners wealthy or wealthier, very unapologetic about that. If somebody doesn't have that mindset, they don't belong in my firm.
Yeah. I mean, this is basically, it's not a libertarian mastermind per se, but most of us here are philosophically aligned, and you're not going to get a lot of, it's not a lot of socialist sympathizers in this mastermind. So,
no.
I mean, you know, I'm all about the making people money. So,
although I do enjoy that, like, Tom pays for everything.
Well, I mean, we pay him $20,000, and then he, quote unquote, pays for everything else after that.
Right.
And, you know, a couple hundred dollars here and there.
It's, McDonald's, yeah. Waffle House.
I mean,
I'm totally kidding. We eat at very nice restaurants.
And he splurges for party buses. So,
yes.
Yeah, there's no coming down. So how did you first hear about Tom?
I heard of Tom when he was substituting for Peter Schiff on The Peter Schiff Show, back when I did listen to podcasts.
Oh, you listened to the original, the Schiff podcast.
Yes.
What year? That was like mid-2000s? When was that?
It was not too long after the crash, probably.
We literally have Tom over there in the corner. Tom, when was the Peter Schiff days?
I probably started around 2010 again.
So around 2010. All right.
That sounded right.
So how did you find out about the mastermind, and what kind of made you want to join? Masterminds are unusual. It's a very different type of person that comes to mastermind than I would say even the normal like libertarian business person. It's a different mindset to literally pay $20,000 to come hang out for a couple of weeks and do a bunch of calls and other things. But what made you want to join this mastermind in particular?
Okay, how I heard about it. Well, first of all, I heard about the School of Life because I was getting Tom's emails. I liked him so much on Peter Schiff, I signed up, put my email address in there. And I always find his writing very interesting. So I do, even though I don't listen to podcasts, I do read his emails and joined School of Life. And then I went down to Orlando where he had the big gathering. And I think that's where he announced the mastermind. And I was, that's kind of what I want to do because honestly, $20,000 is not much money if you get an idea that makes you $100,000.
Oh, no. It's one of those things. It's a very limited growth mindset for people that are not willing. They're not willing to, quote unquote, risk $20,000. But I've never been in a mastermind where I didn't make a connection that was worth at least as much as the price of entry. There are just sometimes you have to pay to be in the room. I never would have met you in Georgia when I'm living in Pennsylvania. We run in completely different circles, but we have a deal in the works that could be very profitable for both of us. So it's, yes. You know, it takes somebody to put everybody in the room. So it's a unique situation, but yeah, I mean, it's not a risk if you have the faith in yourself, honestly, to make it worth it. You have to put in the work to make it worth it, but then it can always be worth it.
Absolutely, and I've gained so much from like accounting circle masterminds, and but after a while, everybody kind of sees a thing through one set of glasses, let's say.
Yeah.
And I was like, well, you know what? I need to expand it and see business owners and various different industries because they will see things differently. And it, you know, that's actually something Jay Abraham talks about. One of the great consultants of all time is how he's good at helping people because he can bring things from different industries he's worked with that the current industry owner had not thought of.
Yeah, it really is. It's funny. I remember listening to Jay. I was at an event. I think it was Titans of Direct Response, Brian Kurtz's event back in, what was that, 2010, something like that. And Jay was speaking and he was talking about how there was this manufacturing plant in like Japan that he was consulting with and they were losing money, but they were shut down half the night. And he put in like this practice that he saw at a bicycle manufacturer for them to use the second half of the night. And they like doubled their profitability. It was like this, he pulls from so many weird little niches that, and that is the brilliance of a mastermind like this. Like I've been entirely online. You've been almost entirely offline I mean, not to say you don't have a website and stuff, but the marketing that I do is online. The marketing you do is real in the real world.
Yes.
And now we're kind of combining and doing, I'm bringing some of my stuff to the real world that you're doing.
Yeah. And my whole team is really excited about that. And so because of what you're doing for me, our discussion about me this week was hiring to keep yes. up with the increased business that's coming.
All right. It's a beautiful thing. So what would you tell somebody if they're, who do you think would be right to join us in the next iteration of this mastermind moving forward? Like who else would you like to kind of see in here?
You mean by industry or personality style?
I think it really is personality style because any industry can bring something to the table here.
I think, you know, I people like to say humble. I don't think humble, but I don't think arrogant either. Somebody who's even keeled, they know they're successful. They have confidence and so that they can feel confident to add things. I've seen successful people who just sit in the corner and they're quiet. We don't need that. We need somebody who's going to add their ideas to the group. Somebody who is forward thinking, trying to grow their business and cares about people. They're not going to do it the wrong way and hurt people in doing it. So that would be who I would like to associate with.
Yeah, I like the you have to have confidence and faith in yourself, basically, but you have to have the beginner's mindset where you're willing to start. You're a newbie at some aspect of business, no matter what you're doing. So you have to come with that willingness to learn.
Yes, absolutely. Well, if you don't come with the willingness to learn, you might not get anything out of it, I guess.
Yeah,
we still might get something out of you. But there's so much brain power in this room. Do you know, it's so funny. I was thinking this morning, and this is going to sound arrogant. I really don't care. I'm just going to tell the truth. I'm used to being the smartest person in the room. I'm used to being the wealthiest person in the room. This is a nice change because everybody in this room is high up in both those areas. Yeah. So it's really a great feeling to know that I'm going to get something out of it.
Yes, absolutely. And we've appreciated your contributions as well.
Well, thanks, Henry.
John, thanks very much.
I appreciate it.
My name is Ari Michaeli. I'm a partner at Baseline Group in Denver, Colorado. We're a private equity real estate company.
And how did you first hear about Tom Woods? Because you're the other guy in this group that's like, I think we're the only ones in here under 40, maybe. Anybody else? Paul?
Paul.
Yeah, Paul's sneaking in there too. You're about our age. But most of the group's a little older than us. So how did you first hear about Tom Woods?
I honestly can't remember off the top of my head. It ended up in my internet algorithm somehow. Like I got presented with a Tom Woods video and I was like, oh, this guy seems interesting. And
yeah, search for some libertarian stuff and YouTube will eventually feed you Tom Woods.
Well, eventually that was, the YouTube algorithm eventually started feeding me stuff and eventually Tom Woods ended up in there.
I've been there. You know, it was funny. I had, Tom doesn't know this and he's listening in, but I had a friend way back in 2018 or something. We got into a political discussion. He's like, oh, you must be like a big Tom Woods fan. And I was like, who? I just didn't know. And then it was during the pandemic, I started listening to actually Dave Smith, who mentioned Tom Woods. And then I started listening to Tom Woods. I'm like, oh, that's why everybody said I should have been a Tom Woods fan. Like, I guess I am. But
Now that I think about it, it might have had something to do with Michael Malice, because I remember finding Malice at one point and buying his book about North Korea.
Okay.
Reading that. And that might have been how I ended up with a Tom Woods video.
Awesome. So how did you hear about the mastermind originally?
Part of School of Life. And one day got an email from Tom and it was just, hey, what do you think about this? And I was like, wow, this is something that I definitely feel like I want to participate in.
All right. So what was the kind of deciding factor for you? Because I know it's like a big decision for everybody to pull the trigger on a $20,000 mastermind investment. We got to talk to Tom a little bit in the pre-interview, but what was kind of the deciding factor that made you go in for this?
Yeah, I think for me, like just in my business, it's a very people-focused business. And this is another way to not only meet people, but people who are also like-minded and have the mindset of, all right, we're all going to come together and just see how this is going to benefit all of us.
Yeah,
we're not, it doesn't, definitely after, participating in three of these meetups, it's very much a growth mindset here. And that's exactly what I was looking for. I always feel like I need feedback and you kind of never know where to get it from. And I definitely feel like we've been, collaborating and having really, really good discussions that have, getting my mind to work in good ways that are, beneficial for me. And I think, beneficial for everybody here. Otherwise, I think everybody would have dropped out at this point, would have stopped coming. And
so you were on the hot seat for like 3 hours straight yesterday. I mean, I've been there before. That's pretty exhausting.
Right. I kind of felt like I was getting both deposed, and I was sitting on like the couch and being like mentally diagnosed.
Yeah, a little bit of a therapist / lawyer situation here. Yeah. All right. What was kind of your biggest, not necessarily to give anything away from yesterday, but what do you think has been the biggest benefit of being a part of the group, of the mastermind so far?
You talking like personally or like globally here?
Whichever. I mean, personally, there's two dimensions to it. I'd be curious to hear about both of them.
Yeah, I think personally, you know, it's, for me, it's always about broadening my network, right? You never know who you're going to meet. And you never know where a connection is going to take you to a deal somewhere that is profitable for everybody. And that's, you know, originally, I think that was my kind of first thought, was like, okay, I'm going to meet people who are serious entrepreneurs, and everybody in here is that. But I think globally, it's more about, maybe not more about, but at least from my perspective, like being an entrepreneur requires like just so much more than, you know, what you can absorb, you know, through reading books or, watching videos and like doing it in sort of an academic sense. Like
or even Zoom calls, something about being in the room.
Right. There's just something about being in person and like, dare I say, just like hanging out with people that are, have that mindset of like, you know, we're all in very different businesses. Like there's really no overlap here, but there are certain things that just, you know, really get your mind spinning. Like, oh, you know, I should have thought of that. Like Nelson yesterday had a very good comment when I was talking about like one of the issues that I was having, and that really got my mind spinning. Like, oh, I really should be doing this. And that's the kind of thing that like, you know, you just, nowhere else in my life am I getting feedback. It's hard to talk to your friends about this kind of stuff. Like it's hard to talk to your business partners about certain things. Like people that have this just third party perspective can give you just an insight into something that you would not have thought of otherwise without, you know, sitting on the couch and talking about it for 2 hours.
Well, yeah. And it's actually true, because there's things you literally can't talk to your business partners about, right? Because they're decisions you have to make about the overall business that kind of affect them. So you can't get their input on it. So it's really beneficial to have a group like this to bounce that kind of stuff off.
Totally.
But something else you said, which I think is interesting, and it's true, is that I get as much value, I would say business value, out of the dinners and the shows and the hanging out afterwards as you do of the actual sitting here in the meetings.
Yeah. I mean, building relationships, again, like I said, in our business is like, that is the business.
Yeah.
It's all about relationships. It's 90% who you know and maybe 10% what you know. And I think that's probably true of most businesses. And for me, like just hanging out and deepening relationships and, you know, being able to just call somebody and say, hey, can I just bounce something off of you? And I know like if I have to do that with you and you're going to answer the call.
100%.
Like you'll spend 5 minutes with me talking about like, I think this is a good idea, I think this is a bad idea, maybe you should think about X, Y, and Z. Like that is tremendously beneficial.
And every relationship you make extends your network by not just your network, by not just one person, but their entire network.
100%.
As long as you have the openness to like, you got to actually be open in these groups and talk and ask for what you need.
Yeah.
You can't clam up in these things.
No, totally. And, you know, I've had, nothing has quite come of it, but there have been a handful of like the videos in the Tom School of Life where I'm like, oh, I need to reach out to that person. And I emailed Tom and I'm like, hey, can you give me this person's contact info? And, you know, that day I've got an email back from Tom introducing me to whoever it was that I need to talk to. And I know one day like that's going to click.
Absolutely. So what would you tell somebody thinking about joining the School of Life, or not the School of Life, they're already in the School of Life, the high-end mastermind version?
You know, I think you got to have a couple of things. Like, obviously, I think you got to have an idea. Either you got to have some sort of functioning business or an idea of a business that you're going to want to get into. And you need to come here with a growth mindset. Like, if you're coming here with the idea that, you know, this is an expense, then I think you're just going to be looking at it in the wrong way. You got to be coming here with the idea that, okay, this is an investment in my future projection for whatever entrepreneurial goals that I have. And the people here are serious entrepreneurs and are going to be able to help me in doing that. And if you're willing to spend whatever amount of money going to like conferences, like that, some amount of that is just, you're not going to build the relationships there that you're going to be able to build here. And for me, like deep relationships, being able to like, you know, actually know a person and kind of get a feeling for what they're about, is super important. And you're definitely going to get that here. Like you're, you know, you're going to very much understand what everybody here is, you know, individual on an individual level, like what their, you know, what their business is, what they're about, where they want to go. And I think that's just going to put you into the mindset of like, okay, like, you know, I can do this. And, you know, sometimes you just need a little bit of a kick in the ass.
Yep.
So it's not such a bad idea that, you know, you just have to find like what your personal goal is going to be. And I think you got to focus on a little bit on that. But having that growth mindset, I think, is the most important thing.
100%. All right. Thanks a lot, man.
Yeah, absolutely.
Nelson, you want to introduce yourself, tell people who you are and what you do?
Yes, my name is Nelson Aquino. I am a, I'm actually the only person in the mastermind who's still a corporate guy. And I do international sales for a big footwear and apparel brand.
Nice. And how did you first come across the Tom Woods universe, let's call it?
Yes, it is a universe. I still haven't experienced the whole universe, but what happened to me is that I have a little bit of an origin story. I won't do the whole thing, but
let's do it.
My family's from Michigan. I went to school in Michigan, did all of that. And for many years, I knew that what was the prevailing opinions and the prevailing thoughts was something that I wasn't comfortable with. It felt unethical to me. And Henry, In Michigan, I just never knew. I just thought, I'm just a weird one and I don't agree with any of these things. And I'm just kind of like against the grain. I don't know. But then I moved to Boston area for work and discovered that there was a thing called the Free State Project and discovered that there were people called libertarians and just started talking to people little by little and found the Tom Woods Show, found some of the other creators and just learned a lot, who I was.
It's kind of interesting, right? When you, because I felt strange my whole life. Like my dad was a weirdo too in some of this stuff. Like I learned about sound money at the kitchen table growing up, right? Oh, wow. So I had a little bit of introduction to it, but I'm like, oh, it's just us. We're just weird. Nobody else believes this stuff. And then all of a sudden you start finding these like libertarian cliques. And like in college, I was in the college libertarians because I'm like, oh my God, people actually think like me. This is amazing. Exactly. And then you realize there's some weird niches inside libertarianism. But it's a cool feeling when you're like, oh, I'm not alone. And I feel like a lot of people don't get that.
And I think that's part of the reason I'm here. It was funny. I got together with some of my high school mates. Like I hadn't seen these guys in 30 years and we all got together and went to play golf and all that. And I kind of was telling them, expressing to them, oh, I'm unhappy with this and that. And anarchism isn't such a bad thing. And they kind of looked at me and they said to me, yeah, but you've always been that way. And I was like, you guys all knew and I didn't. What a thing.
That's hilarious. That's awesome. So what, because you are the only person here that's still, you're exploring a lot of entrepreneurial options, but you still have, corporate job, for lack of a better term. Now you're high up in the corporation. You're not like some entry-level person with entrepreneurial aspirations that's never going to do it, which is actually a lot of people that they picture themselves as entrepreneurs, but they don't, they're never going to get off the couch because they haven't built the requisite skills yet in their life, but you have the skills. So how did you end up in this group?
Yeah, one of the things I heard, and I think it might have been from you, is that the skills and experience are really the two inputs that you really need. And over time, just because I'm getting old, I've kind of built up the experience, built up skills. But what I find even in the corporate world is the higher you go, the more experience you have, it gets lonelier. It's still a triangle-shaped experience. There's fewer and fewer people that you can talk to. And of course, people in your industry are either your colleagues or your competitors. And there's only so many things that you can talk to them about. And the conversations just become stale in a way.
Yes.
The ideas kind of sound the same. And there's so many times, Henry, that I'm making a presentation and I'm saying, you know what's going to happen. I know what's going to happen. I know what you're going to do. You know what you're going to do as a customer of mine, because we just know the industry. And so one of the things that I've really appreciated about being here with this group is nobody else is selling the things I sell, running the international. It's just a very different experience being with really professionals and entrepreneurs that are running big businesses on their own. And it's their own organizations and how they solve problems and the suggestions they make are really, really interesting.
So what has been, I guess, your impression overall of the group? It's because one of the things you mentioned is that in the corporate world, the conversations get predictable and stiff, right? So is there, because we have a lot of different things here, do you feel like people have been stuck in their lane, or like, how do you feel, I guess, about the creativity and openness of the group to solving problems?
Oh my gosh. It's really interesting for me, because as a corporate guy in corporate leadership, a lot of our jobs has to do with risk management. So we talk a lot about innovation in corporate, innovation A, innovation B. But a lot of our jobs is, how do we manage the risk to a predictable outcome, so that we can say to our investors, whether it's on the street or whether it's our private investors, here's what we're going to do next quarter. The people here, I was going to say gentlemen, but ladies as well, people that were participating in this mastermind, their mindset is completely different. They're not saying, hey, you have to hit this budget. See it as an investment. It's going to pay off in 5 years. And they're okay to take that risk. It's that entrepreneurial risk taking that we want to capture in corporate, but are really limited in doing it.
Yeah, I guess the reason I asked that question originally is because I felt like during your hot seat, you were getting pulled in a million different directions. Mm. Like, I'm telling you, like, well, you could be a consultant to all these things to accomplish what you want. And then Lee's telling you, have you thought about, like, the septic business? And then you're talking about, and John's giving you advice on your sheet metal fabrication. Like, I just felt like you were getting pulled in a million different directions. And there wasn't, I don't know, the structure, but it can be like, there's two ways to take that, right? As in openness and creativity, or as in, like, useless, too much information.
True. Yeah. Well, there is. You could say, well, that's useless information. But the way I think about it is a bit different. It's the principles of what they were saying is really one of the things that you challenged me with. What's your actual goal? Is the way you said, what's driving you to this goal? So you had me think higher than the specifics of the balance sheet that I'm going to be looking at. And your comment, your challenge to me was, what are you actually trying to accomplish? And I had to really step back and think, okay, this isn't necessarily a balance sheet conversation here. It's more than just the dollars. What is that goal that I'm trying to accomplish? So if you think about a funnel of ideas, when you get a bunch of people that are different, that are smart, that are incredibly talented, throwing ideas into that hopper, man, there's some gold that's going to come out of it.
Yeah, I love it. That's actually, I think, the main difference between corporate success and entrepreneurial success. In corporate success, other people are defining your KPIs and your success for you, right? Yeah. In entrepreneurship, it doesn't have to be, I build the most profitable business I can. It can be, I build $1 million business that I work 20 hours a week at, right? It could be, I actually change a corporate culture. I have this impact in the world. You get to define your own goals, which is awesome, but also it's an awesome responsibility, and it's terrifying for a lot of people. So I like really applaud you for coming out and being like, you know, I've been doing this corporate thing and it's not fulfilling you really. So you have the entrepreneurial mindset already, which is why, we'd love to have you. We've loved having you in the group. You've been such a key member, but it's been great having you here.
It's been great to contribute.
How would you describe the group to somebody thinking about coming in the next round of when Tom opens this thing up again? Like, what would you say to the next person, the person that's going to be sitting in that seat next to you in the next meeting? Like, what type of mindset should they come in with?
Man, first of all, I'd say strap on. Just buckle in, because it can be a bit of a ride. I mean, it takes you, like, as you said, it can pull you in a lot of different directions. The main thing, I think that person has to be very open-minded. And as I've shared, in corporate, predictability is very, very valued. And sitting here may not be. You're going to get people that are going to challenge you. Some people are going to agree, disagree, and you're going to get different points of view from different directions. They're going to ask you questions that you hadn't thought about. So sitting here the first time with this group, it's really important to just be able to, man, just open up and let it happen. I try to take a lot of notes, and I really wish I'd been recording it.
Yeah.
Because there's so much that happens during that hour and a half, 2 hours that you're in that hot seat.
Yeah, actually, that's a good, we should probably record these things.
It's
funny, because we want to have some privacy in the group. We want people to feel open, right? That's one, I say we. I want to feel open when I'm talking, that I can say something that's not like,
not going to show up somewhere.
Yeah, like I have an off of the wall idea that I know nobody in the group's going to steal it, but I don't want it getting out there, right? Yeah. Or it's just stupid. I've had stupid ideas, believe this or not. More than my good ideas. I just burn through the stupid ones faster. But Yeah, but it would be helpful to have some private recordings, I think. So we'll throw that suggestion up.
Yeah, maybe this, and maybe even a way that we can, or even if there's a way that we can get notes of what happened. I mean, Kevin's sitting over there, he takes incredible notes. Yeah. I was kind of peeking at his notes. It's amazing. Even if we can get some of those so I can add to mine, because I mean, when you're in the middle of the hot seat, you're trying to, first of all, you're trying to keep up with the conversation, keep up with the comments, and keep up with notes. And it just, I was looking at my notes last night, and I was like, I probably could have done better.
Yeah, I have the same thing. I'm trying to take notes on other people's stuff. I don't know how Kevin writes that fast or that small. Have you seen his pen? Yeah, like this big?
It's like a funny Kinnear form or something.
It really is. It's interesting too, because it keeps you like, I'm tired after these meetings, because you're playing a game of yes and, right? There's no like shooting things down. It's nobody's idea is stupid. So you're always trying to say, you might have an idea that's then invalidated by the next four comments.
Correct.
But you got to play. You can't sit back and like rewind the conversation. It's an intense thing, but it's fun, and it strokes everybody's creative juices.
Absolutely. You know, one of the things that I really love is when people start telling stories. I decided yesterday I'm going to try to give them some stories from my side too, because people will tell stories about how their businesses are doing, what happened in their business, how they built it. So, and it's like, that stuff is gold, because that's the experience that they have. Somebody that's been 25 years in business, or somebody that's running a business for 20 years or 10 years or 5 years, those stories of how that got built is really what's interesting here.
Absolutely. Nelson, thanks so much, man.
Man, Henry, my pleasure.
All right, we're back. Lee, you just sat through like 3 hours of grilling. How did that feel?
Kind of like unloading. I don't know. She's kind of letting, opening up to a different format that I can't do at home, I guess you'd say. And getting a lot of things off my head and a lot of ideas out there and bouncing them off everybody so I can get some feedback that I can't get elsewhere.
Absolutely. All right, so we started at a different spot. Let's introduce yourself, just your name and what you do.
Lee Gibson. I'm a owner and operator of a equipment rental firm out of Norfolk, Virginia. A family business, has been around for about 40 years, and really looking at where do we go from here? How do we evolve with the rest of the market, and how do we get better at what we do and open up new opportunities for ourselves?
So it's kind of, I want to get to the Tom Woods questions in a bit, but it's interesting because you're in a very old school, like that industry, the equipment rental has been around for what, 50, 60 really years, or longer than that maybe. The world is changing. How has kind of the internet, digitization of everything, AI, all that, what kind of effects are you seeing on your business, if any?
I think the changes are coming in the marketing end of the business and how you get to your customer, where you know there's a bifurcation in the equipment business between, you know, what would you consider your old rental store, which, you know, you go rent your lawn aerator and your typical one-off stuff. And how do we become a real professional organization that differentiates ourselves servicing professional customers? And we're excited to go into a new range of the business and leverage our product knowledge and technical knowledge to get the maximum out of it and go where other people haven't gone.
Mm-hmm. So. That's it. Pretty good. All right. So how did you first hear of Tom Woods? Do you remember your introductions to the Woods universe?
I think it was during COVID. And the world was going insane, and I was looking for anybody who was speaking some sanity at that point. I'm pretty sure it was a YouTube video of a talk Tom was giving down in Florida on masks and restrictions and everything was going on. Like, oh, finally, somebody who's talking some sense.
Right, the same person in the room, finally. It was the same thing. It was COVID for me. It was like, oh, you're looking for sanity, and it was so hard to find.
Yeah, anywhere I could get it. I was like, hey, this guy's not crazy. I like him.
So did you go through the same pipeline of School of Life to hearing about the mastermind to getting in the mastermind, or?
Yes. I'll be honest with you, I'm not sure how I heard about the School of Life. It was probably on one of his podcasts and just said, well, I will go down there and, you know, meet a bunch of people and see what's going on. So you talk. And then he started talking about the mastermind, and I was at an inflection point in my business. And I was like, well, I need some outside input. I need to talk to some other people and get some ideas on what I'm thinking about doing here because it was different. And I said, you know, it was a good idea, I thought, for me at the time.
And so now we've been through three separate mastermind meetings. We had New York, Chicago, and now Vegas. I guess, what was the most valuable thing to you of being a part of the mastermind?
It was the ability to put all my ideas out in front of everybody and get some feedback on whether or not I'm headed down the wrong path. You know, what should I be following up on this? Am I running into some potential traps? Get some feedback and some ideas. And certainly on the marketing end, it's a wealth of knowledge that I just didn't have.
Yeah.
You know, it's not my background, as it were. And I've learned quite a bit on that end, and I've got a lot of work to do going forward. So,
yeah, that's always the interesting thing is you get so many ideas at one of these events, and then you have to try to execute. And like selecting the ideas to execute on next, I guess, how do you decide on that? Did you just prioritize by highest revenue number, by most like the thing that'll free up the most time and convenience? I guess it depends where you are in your business. But for you, what are your kind of goals and I guess to prioritize implementation?
I think it's bang for your buck.
Okay.
And I'm looking for the thing that'll provide the most impact and set me up for future development. You know, I may not get that bang this year, but I'm looking at 2-3 years down the road, where do I want to be? And it's a, I think if you go into it looking for an instant turnaround, you're not going to get what you want.
No.
Right? Yeah. And it's really about building a system, as it were, going forward that enables you to do all the things that you want to do. So oftentimes that means putting things aside and saying, nah, I don't have time to work on that right now.
Right.
And having other people tell you, no, you shouldn't be working on that right now. You should be forgetting about that. So it
helps.
Well,
a lot of the stuff that I remember just from your session is people are saying like, you really need to do that, but you're wasting your time on it. You need to outsource this. Here's like you're spending, because you have the technical ability to do a lot of the programming and the with your engineering background, you want to get in there on the details.
Oh, yeah. I see a problem. I want to fix it. And It's a temptation that I got to fight. So thank you guys for keeping me in line.
All right. So for somebody that's considering joining up with the mastermind for the next round, just what would you tell them?
I would tell them, you know, it's best suited for people who are looking to make change and need that feedback and need the feedback in an environment that's, how would I say, not roped into your current situation, right? From people who can come at it objectively from the outside. And, you know, if you're looking for the social aspect, it's great. It's fun. You know, you're having a good time. You're going to shows. You're getting good food and everything else. But if you're really looking for that, if you need that feedback right now, it's worth the money and time. I mean, and that's really why I'm here.
Absolutely, so, yeah. Any final thoughts before we wrap this up?
No, just thanks to Tom and everybody else for putting up with my rambling. I mean, that's you know, I can get going. So
the rambling is the point of the mastermind sometimes. It's funny, actually, just being allowed to get things off your mind and being allowed, given the space to, because I don't know about you, but sometimes I have to talk through a problem. Like, I can't formulate it instantly in my head. So having the space and, like, I don't want to say, it's kind of grace, kind of like letting yourself and other people letting you up and giving you the prompts, right? To say, well, what are you really thinking here and there?
It sounds better in an environment when you're with 6 other people than it does if you're driving in your car by yourself talking to yourself, you know, and you get a little feedback. You know, it just, when you're talking to yourself in the car, you don't get that. So,
well, it's kind of funny because I've had some of the opposite too. It's like I've written down ideas and they sound really good until you tell them to a group of 6 people and they start poking holes in it.
Yeah.
So you can, it goes either way. It's actually beneficial on both sides.
Throw it out. Oftentimes, and I tell people all the time, what you choose not to do is just as important or more important than what you choose to do.
So. Absolutely. All right, Lee, thanks a lot.
My name is Paul Counts. I run a marketing agency called Marketing Counts. We do work with a variety of clients and everybody from publicly traded companies down to regular just solopreneurs wanting to get going online.
So. Nice. So how did you first hear of Tom? Because you're actually you're working with Tom kind of in the mastermind.
Right.
I guess, can you describe how you heard of Tom and what the relationship that formed here to get to this situation is?
Yeah, definitely. So I actually first heard about Tom. He actually was a student of mine going through, you know, buying some of my content and online and was on my email list. And then we actually ended up connecting at an internet marketing event.
Nice.
And then we really hit it off and we've been, you know, doing different partnerships. He's been one of my top affiliates. I've promoted a lot for him and back and forth for the last several years. And then obviously I've gotten into a show and, you know, got into that whole ecosystem. So
Sure.
Yeah.
And so how did the how your involvement with the mastermind come about? Because it's different from going from student to kind of partner in these things.
Yeah, absolutely. So we ended up like, just because, you know, Tom and I have gone, you know, Tom was always the person that would call me, you know, we had marketing questions and technical questions. So, you know, just kind of naturally happened. And and we were like, hey, we need to do something together. Like, there's a great opportunity for us to, you know, do something together. So we talked it over, made the deal happen. And it's so fun. Yeah, we just love being a part of it.
So what have your impressions been of the mastermind so far? Because I assume you've been in a lot of different masterminds. And this is a more intimate mastermind, I'd say, a little bit more tight-knit.
Right.
And, you know, that's what, there was 10 people or so. It's not necessarily, I know this, you want to grow this going forward, but this is kind of like the initial seed group. So just, I guess, overall, what have your impressions been of this mastermind versus other ones that have a different type of entrepreneur, I guess it would be?
Yeah, I think this one, what's made this one so special is that the friendships that I've seen develop, like, because it's so small and intimate. And like, we were even talking, like, if we were to grow this, we'd almost split it up into two groups, because the smaller intimate setting, I think, makes it a better, you know, opportunity. And like, I've seen so many friendships, I've seen, you know, more deals being cut in a group like this than I have in other masterminds.
Yeah, it's interesting because it's also less structured than some of the other masterminds I've been in. But it, that, I think that only when you grow to a certain level of like 25, 35, 45 people, you have to have structure or it doesn't work at all.
Exactly.
But in these, like, there's no, we don't have a timer running when we're doing hot seats. It's, we talk until the person's done and everybody's solved their problems, but we have enough time to get everybody in because it's tight enough.
That's the best part. I mean, some people are getting 3 hours, some people are getting an hour, some people, you know, it's whatever they need.
You literally tap out when you're done.
Yeah, you literally tap out. I mean, and to me, that's the best part. And I've also like enjoyed the different perspectives. Like, I don't think there's a single niche that's the same in this room, you know, like it's crazy.
What we have, real estate, we have equipment rental, accounting,
corporate sales.
Corporate sales. Copywriting and podcasting, whatever.
Right.
Information publishing, whatever.
Information publishing. Yeah.
But it's been an interesting combination. You know, we have a couple deals and partnerships in the flow, and that wouldn't seem natural normally.
No,
but not at all. They're coming together.
Yeah. So,
all right. Moving forward, what would you say to somebody that's looking at the mastermind in general? I guess mastermind in general. How would you advise somebody to approach it? Like, what criteria should you consider when you're thinking about joining a mastermind, you're interviewing, because there's a billion options for masterminds, right? There's anything from the, you know, $1,500, which I'm in, like Brian Kurtz's Titans Accelerator,
great mastermind. Those are great,
A couple hundred people, but it's an online thing, it's great. And then there's all the way up to $200,000 for one meeting and some of those stupid.
Yeah.
I don't mean to call you guys, that's stupid, don't do that. No, I'm just kidding. But all right, what are the criteria that you would tell somebody to consider when they're thinking about a mastermind?
Yeah, I would say the quality of the people involved, you know, is a big part. The other thing that's huge is the connections you make are so natural, they're so real, like they're lifelong friendships. And, you know, it's, you meet everybody's network, you know, like everybody knows somebody, everybody's got a guy, right? Or everybody's got a person like, oh, that's my guy for this, let me introduce you to them, you know. And that, and everything that I've ever pointed back to in my business success has been, I mean, I can point to tens of millions of dollars in revenue because I just showed up at a room, went to a mastermind, met somebody. You met an affiliate partner, you met a partner that helped promote a product. I mean, it's insane the amount of you know, stuff that can happen when you get in front of a group.
So almost every dollar of like income in my copywriting career, especially, I can trace back to a handshake somewhere. Some of it was I went to go to a conference and then meet at the bar.
Right.
And it was never in the conference. It's never what you learn at a conference.
Oh,
you meet there. And a mastermind just takes that and accelerates it.
It really does. And it's like one idea. I mean, you know, we could throw one marketing idea that could save somebody $12,000 a year, $20,000 a year. You know, it's like one little idea is all you need. And I think the mindset of people that go to a mastermind is they look for that one nugget. Because I, you know, I run other smaller masterminds too. And, you know, where there's less of a buy-in for it. And those groups are great. They work well. But like, those people are more trying to like, okay, I got to get my money back. And a group like this, everybody's like, you know what? If I get one takeaway that makes me $200,000 or whatever in the next year, or tons of money, it's worth it. You know, like they see the ROI, right? People in this room see it.
It's really interesting because I've been to masterminds where it's a very selfish focus. I don't mean selfish in a bad way, but they're looking at what can I get out of this?
Right.
And then there's masterminds where it's like, I don't know, how can we grow the group?
Yes.
I feel like this is more of the latter. This is more of the,
like growth.
What are we doing as the mastermind community? Mm-hmm. Like when one person wins, everybody wins.
Oh,
And there's not this like, there's nobody just sitting here with their, you know, tapping their foot, waiting for somebody else to get done speaking so they can get their turn.
Right. They're almost tapping their foot to jump in and help that person, yeah. You know, like, it's like, I just love seeing that, you know, camaraderie and the friendships that have been built, and it's huge. And I mean, I can't say enough how valuable something like this is to somebody's business. So,
all right, man, last thoughts on the Tom Woods Mastermind. What would you tell somebody looking at this, thinking about it? It's a big check, but,
It is. Yeah. It's, you know, I would say, you know, it's a big leap of faith, right? And if you're ready with your business, if your business is in a spot where you feel like, you know what, I'm ready to grow, I'm ready to go to that next level, joining a group like this is going to help you get there.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Paul, thanks so much, man.
Hey, thank you.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, come on, come down
here. All right.
Oh, yeah.
Good choice.
Try getting this party bus at any other mastermind than Tom Woods.
All right, Tom Woods, we are at the third event of your mastermind series. This is the final one. How do you feel it's been going so far? This was this is kind of a departure from your typical business adventures.
Yeah, it is. But I like the idea of the mastermind, and I like the idea of just being in a fairly, I mean, we have a big room, nice big suite always, but a small group. And this way, everybody gets to talk for a certain amount of time, get feedback from other smart people. And, you know, I had a really good experience one time because I got to sit down with Jay Abraham, who's this unbelievable legend, and I sat down with him for 2 hours, and I got absolutely life-changing advice. But, you know, that's highly unusual, and that costs an immense amount just for those 2 hours. And I thought, you know, I think I'm getting to a point where I've attracted a group of people who are smart, ambitious, experienced, who have a wide array of knowledge that could help a lot of diverse people. So why don't we give this a try? Why should it just be me with Jay Abraham? Let's bring a bunch of people together and see what, putting our heads together, we can do for each other.
So I'm curious, you had, I'm sure, a certain set of expectations when you started. So how did you picture this going? Like, when you first started out, what was the, I guess, goal and expectation that you started out with?
Well, I thought it was everybody would get a lot of good advice from people they wouldn't have heard of otherwise, from people in different industries. So it wouldn't just be the same echo chamber they're already in.
Right.
But I also kind of pictured it being much stuffier than it turned out to be. You know, I didn't realize that people would actually kind of like each other and enjoy each other's company and stay out for drinks all night and stuff like that. I wasn't anticipating that angle on it, but that's made it all the better. And it means that when somebody's talking, everybody is genuinely listening and genuinely racking their brains. What's the best advice I can give this person?
Yeah. So what was the biggest surprise, I guess, in the way it turned out? Because so in the beginning, we had the first event, we had Marlon Sanders, who was hilarious and had a lot of great insights to share.
Yeah.
I think everybody got some benefit out of him. And then we've just been kind of on our own since then and doing more or less hot seats, I would describe it as.
Yeah.
So you talk until you're ready to tap out. Right. The advice gets overflown. But I guess just what was the evolution that kind of pushed it in that direction for you?
Well, we started with Marlon because I think he's extremely underrated. He should be a billion times better known than he is. He really knows everything. You remember, we weren't even on the plane heading home.
Right.
And he had already written a 26-page memo for everybody. I mean, that's and he's not on anything. He's just a cantankerous old man who loves to help people, honestly. And so I'm hoping that in the next year, I want to bring the mastermind to his city so he doesn't even have to get on a plane. He can just drive over, you know, yell at us for a while and, you know, in his friendly way and leave. I guess, you know, I know the idea of a mastermind is supposed to be sort of anarchic. Like, there's no teacher at the top. It's supposed to be a lot of people with again, different kinds of knowledge, putting their heads together, and then something really great happens from that. But there's still a little part of me that feels like, yeah, but what if that doesn't work? You know, like, well, maybe we do need like a teacher in charge or something. And then I got to observe how it worked on its own, and I realized, okay, well, maybe Napoleon Hill was right. This thing actually does kind of drive itself. And it's been nice to see that people, you know, like you and our friend John, have worked out a deal that should, you know, if the world makes any sense, ought to be fairly profitable for the two of you guys. So to see that, and that wasn't even something that you worked out in the formal sessions. You know, you guys just talked to each other.
We went to a donut shop, had coffee, and worked out the details.
Yeah, it's amazing. And the thing is, just talking, like talking to Jay Abraham, I got like 10 ideas. I only have the bandwidth to do one of them, but I only need one of them.
Right.
You know, I can if that one exhausts itself, I have 9 more. Well, likewise, when you and I sit down and talk at this thing, you know, we come up with 3 or 4 things that we could easily do if, you know, if we have an opening on the calendar, we could do it. And so, yeah, this is just one of these things where sometimes people think, well, entrepreneurs, you know, successful ones, they're just lucky. But I kind of feel like, although I tried to say it's not just luck, and then Bob Bly, who's on my mailing list, wrote to me and said, well, sometimes it is luck. And I thought, okay, yeah, I know that, Bob. I hear you. But my point is, I do like the expression that you make your own luck in the sense that by putting yourself in a group like this, it's not lucky that you made a deal with John. You put yourself in a position where that was not an unlikely outcome. You know, so you put yourself, you position yourself, you gain the knowledge, you gain the experience, you associate with the right people so that when an opportunity comes along, you're perfectly placed to grab it.
Yeah.
And that's not pure luck.
It's funny. I had a long conversation years ago with Bob Lai at a copywriting conference. And because I pushed him on that, because he's been on the luck thing for a long time.
I didn't know that. Okay. I didn't realize I was pushing his buttons.
No, some of the most successful people, look, they're denying the role of luck and they think it's all pick yourself up by your bootstraps. And a lot of it, when you dig into it, it's because he believes that, you know, because bad luck happens to people, like diseases and things you can't really control.
Right.
It has to be true on the opposite side as well. And there is some truth to what he's saying. Of course, some of it is luck, but there is I think the upside of luck, of good luck, is a lot more controllable than the downside of bad luck. Oh, both, like, if you want to prevent disease, you can get on a supplement regime and an exercise regime and really, like, push yourself and control a lot of the factors. You can do the same thing on the upside. And I just think the upside's so much better. The bottom part of the downside is, like, disability and death. We have no idea what the top of the upside is.
Boy, that is a great point. That's a great point. But I'm also thinking that even if you do suffer bad luck, it depends how you react to that. Is everything. If you've mastered your inner game, like I wouldn't say I had bad luck, but I way underpaid my taxes in 2022, way underpaid. Because I had a great year. I didn't really want to know how much I earned. I wanted to spend the money, you know? So, all right. So I had a big tax bill the next year. But for some people would have looked at that and been so discouraged that it would have just shut them right down. Whereas for me, I thought, okay, well, I had a few product launches in mind. Let's just accelerate those.
Yeah.
That was the way I thought, and that's how I got out of it.
Yeah, I've had, 2023 was a rough year with just a bunch of things for me. Clients going bankrupt on me that I had no control over.
None, yeah.
Losing $500,000 that somebody owed me and because they went bankrupt, and they didn't tell me until I was at the bottom of the line and couldn't get it in bankruptcy court. Relationship things, everything. And I was down for a couple months, and then you're like, no, I'm not going to sit here and wallow in my own sorrow. Right. Eventually, if you're going to win at life, you got to pick yourself up, no matter what happened to you. You still have to move forward in life or give up, but don't give up.
Yeah, and you know, I don't want to sound like a broken record, but again, you surround yourself with people who have that right mindset.
Yes.
It's going to rub off on you. You surround yourself with people who think life just happens to them and there's nothing you can do. And if you try to bootstrap your way out of it, you're probably just some dumb idiot who's going to get crushed by the man. Well, then that's the person you're going to turn out to be.
Right. So I have the reason I joined this mastermind in the first place is, you know, I have my 4 cornerstones of liberty framework, which is security, wealth, awareness, and network. And network is something that you can control that people kind of underestimate.
Yeah.
And sometimes you have to pay in the room. I was talking to John about this. I never would have met him if it wasn't for your mastermind. I don't get to Georgia to hang out with accountants and CPAs.
Right, of course not.
Right? I never would have met Nelson. I love New Hampshire's a great state, but I'm not getting up there a lot. So there's all these people that I now have, you know, some business relationships and just friendships with that I never would have met if I didn't pay to be in the room. Sometimes you gotta pay to be in the room, so it's worth it to people. But I think so many people are averse to that idea that they feel like it's cheating somehow, and I don't understand that attitude.
Oh, geez, no. I mean, this is how life works. You put your, I mean, unless you are hoping that everything will happen to you at random, and that is luck.
Right.
Then you just sit there and you wait for the phone to ring and you hope that somebody on the other end thinks you're useful. But I want to live, I hate this awful word, Henry. I want to live proactively. I want to go out and find my opportunities. And I think for me, one of the great things is, I think it's safe to say I've become pretty good friends with Paul Counts, whom I knew on a business level. I knew he was a really, really smart young guy. But now, like, he and I go out for dinner and he doesn't even realize that he'll have some sentence that he just throws out, you know, just as some sentence that we all know, but that I didn't know. And I think, oh, wow, that's really a valuable insight. And he's just, again, this just seems like common sense to him, but I'm just absorbing it like a vacuum.
So what are the future plans for the Tom Woods Mastermind? Because we've had our group of, what, eight or so people in the main core here.
Yep.
But, you know, we've gone our three meetings. What's the future look like? Are we going to expand on this group? Are you going to start another group? Like, how do you plan on going forward? Because one of the things that everybody commented on is that they love the intimate feel of the group and that you could be friends with everybody.
Yes.
And it didn't matter if somebody went 1 hour and another person went 4 hours on their hot seat, because right. Everybody was getting value the whole time.
That's so. Right. And whatever you need, we want to be there for you. Well, my thinking is that for now, I would expand this group up to 10.
Okay.
But beyond 10, anybody else would have to be on a wait list until we got at least half a dozen in another group.
Okay.
Because I do want to maintain the feelings that we have now, that everybody gets a good chunk of time to talk. Everybody gets to know each other well. That's what I want to do. So we have a few cities planned where we'd like to go. And one of them, as I said, is going to be to Marlon Sanders City, San Antonio,
okay.
So that we can get more of his insights. I was glad to see Nelson was asking, hey, did you guys all read that book Marlon recommended? It was Sales Reps Are Free and all that. So I was glad that he absorbed all that. But, you know, I do a lot of travel. I do a lot of travel.
I follow you on what? You have a Facebook or Twitter picture in some new state, city, country.
And so I know fun, interesting things to do because, you know, all work and no play. So, you know, we go to see shows. We go to good restaurants. I have got so many whacked out things lined up for us, you know, should we decide to move forward. So that's my plan.
All right. So for people that are on the fence, you know, you have a lot of entrepreneurs in your audience. I guess what, because a lot of people, they disqualify themselves. They say, oh, it's, you know, John, this giant CPA, or, you know, Henry, the copywriter, whatever it is. They say, well, I'm not that level. What level do you think people should be at in business? Because there is a level below that, look, if you're just starting out, it's probably not right. Like, you just, you need a certain level of experience to be able to get enough and contribute enough to make this group worth it for you.
Right.
So what is the level, I guess the minimum level that you would think you should really start considering this?
I would say first that the fee is not a financial burden. You know, you shouldn't put yourself in an awkward position financially to get into this thing. So that would be number one. Second, I wouldn't say like you have to be at the top of your industry by any means, but you should be, I feel like, successful, but still uncomfortable in that you know you can get higher. You know, you know there's a level where you belong, and you have a feeling there's some way that somebody could prop you up there. And that if you keep cracking away at it, maybe you'll get 1% closer every year, but you're a little bit more impatient than that.
Right.
You know, you'd like to get 10% closer or 15 or 20 or whatever. And that's what we're here for.
So what do you think the work commitment somebody should be willing to put in is? Because everybody here is at a different level. John is freaking out about having to work more than 20 hours a week for like 2 weeks. Nelson's ready to go 80 hours a week to get his new business off the ground. But it's a very different experience for everybody, I guess, depending where you're at. But I don't know. Is there an average work level you should expect to put in after this?
Depends on how badly you want it.
Yeah.
You know, because I'm not hiring a private detective to check up on how well you're doing. But I feel like you're going to leave here like as I did at the end of my conversation with Jay Abraham. It was almost like the last 5 or so minutes, I was almost not even listening. I was already thinking through how am I going to implement that $1 million idea he just gave me. So I feel like you're going to get home and you're just going to be excited to dive in because you can already see in your mind's eye what the likely outcome is. And that's why, like, even I want to rush home because I have a couple things I want to try out. In fact, I didn't even tell the group that you told us a strategy that one of your friends had tried that I tried with one of my launches. And I think we can say it worked. And so that's the kind of thing I want to share. And now I have 2 or 3 other ideas. I just want to get home and do. I don't want to get home and, you know, sleep till 11 every day. I want to get home because I want more money.
Yeah.
Put it that way.
Yeah, so the plane home from Chicago, I drove to New York, so plane home from Chicago, I was like writing out, here's what I want to do, here's step one, step two, here's the implementation steps. And
yeah.
I mean, that's great when you come away from something energized. I'm such an introvert that normally I go to an event and I can be outgoing and personable, and then I want to like just curl up in a cave and like hide. But like coming back from this, I think it's because it's not overwhelming with people. That, right. These are actually now friends that I can like hang out with. But I come back energized and ready to like actually kick it up another gear when we get back from your events.
Yeah. See, I mean, I know there are really, really profitable events that have 2,000 attendees.
Sure.
But that's just not for me.
It's a different style. There are groups that works with, and then there's this. It's a different thing.
Yeah. So the only... The issue is there's no you in Mastermind, and we want to fix that.
I feel I have to end it. No.
That had to be that. Right. I wanted to say the corniest thing in the whole
all
show.
Right.
I think I did it.
Closing thoughts, Tom.
I've been fortunate to have a lot of interesting ventures in my life. This was, in a way, the riskiest because maybe it wouldn't have worked. Maybe nobody wanted to do it, and I would look silly for asking. But they did want to do it. We've actually done it. We've had 3 really successful meetings in 3 really, really fun cities. And it's one of these things where you know you can get to that level. There's a part of you, because you have the right mindset. If you're even considering this, you have the right mindset. You know that there are a lot of people who are way up here. And maybe you'll never get to exactly up here, but you're here. And on your own, maybe you get to here, maybe you get to here. But when you're with the right people, that's the thing that's likely to get you here.
Yeah, it really is. It defies those laws of math where it's the 2 + 2 doesn't equal 4 necessarily,
no, it doesn't.
Right? This
that's
is
right.
The one case
yep.
where the woke math works. All right, Tom, thank you so much. This has been great.
Thanks, Henry.
I hope you enjoyed those interviews. Certainly was a good time. Vegas is a lot of fun. It's really expensive. It's way more expensive than I remember from the last time I was there, which was over a decade ago, I think, or at least a decade ago. So my thoughts on the Mastermind. Obviously, I said a lot in these interviews, so I don't need to recap that. Masterminds are obviously an incredibly valuable asset and tool for people in businesses or different career fields. And I like the diversity of the Woods Mastermind, having people in all different industries. There's nobody there that really overlaps. Tom and I are actually in the closest business, both having basically online presence based businesses, but everybody else there brings something unique and I can learn a lot from. And I think I had some valuable things to share with them. So, everybody there said entirely nice things. I guess it would be fair to offer some criticisms, if not criticisms, some, I don't know, just bringing things back down to reality. So this was Tom's first year doing a mastermind. And in the first couple months that showed, honestly, it just wasn't as organized. It was kind of a finding ourselves period, feeling out who was in the group and just what everybody could bring to the table. So the first mastermind meeting, we had Marlon Sanders there, who I had never met before. He is hilarious and over the top and knows a lot, was very helpful. He's like a walking library, or at least a walking librarian. He had 5 book recommendations for every single person, which was great. Then the next couple masterminds we did, mostly hot seats, which I found way more beneficial than just having one expert kind of running the show. Having the combined mastermind, and I think it was also that we got more comfortable with each other, so we could open up more, and we felt more comfortable sharing our insights and, you know, ideas and offering criticisms, which you might not want to do when you're first getting to know somebody, that first meeting. It has gotten a lot more organized now. We have more monthly calls, more structured check-ins. The group text is a little more active than it was in the early days. So I really think we kind of hit our stride right towards the end of this first year of Mastermind. The other thing is it's just, and this isn't good or bad, it just is a description of it. This is a smaller Mastermind than some other ones I've been in. For example, I was in Baby Bathwater Mastermind, and that's several hundred people. Now, Baby Bathwater is bigger, but it's also much cheaper to attend. I think the price the last time, or at least when I was a member, it was $10,000 a year. Tom's is $20,000 a year. Now, there are advantages and disadvantages to a group that big. Obviously, you have a lot more connections that you can make at a bigger event, but the connections tend to not go as deep. So that's a trade-off. More people that you can meet, fewer opportunities to go deep. Now, I tended to think that the higher cost and lower member count is an advantage towards the end. It did make me hesitate a little in the beginning, but I found we got more out of having fewer people. And I know Tom agrees with this because I think in the beginning, he was willing to grow the mastermind, or when he was first launching it, he was thinking that maybe he could fit up to 15 people or so And now he's not going to go past 8 in a group, because I think every mastermind kind of comes into its own, it finds its own flavor, it finds its own style. And I think these tight, intimate settings are the way to go. And that's for this group, that was the ideal setting. So another thing to focus on, I've been in some other masterminds that are all business, all serious, all the time. And then when the mastermind, quote unquote, meetings are over, you're all on your own and go do what you want. I really, really thought there was a lot of benefit to having structured activities. It sounds kind of cheesy, but you know, going to shows, doing escape rooms, going to the very nice dinners that we did, that really was some of the better bonding stuff. The things that brought us all closer together, just having fun together. So you work together, you play together, you actually become friends. You actually get to know each other on a different level than when you're all putting on your, you know, business persona and trying to show off. Because honestly, let's face it, we're dudes. It was all dudes except for Shreya in this group. And when guys get together, we can't help but flex a little bit. It's just in our nature. And everybody there had accomplishments that, look, we had stuff to flex. We've done things with our lives. That's the point of the mastermind. So breaking through those barriers and kind of you stop doing the horse and pony show where you're trying to be the biggest alpha in the room. And nobody's there intentionally doing it. It's just kind of a dynamic between guys. So breaking through that with the activities and the games and the fun and the dinner, I really ended up making it a whole lot higher quality towards the end. So look, those are my thoughts. I know masterminds aren't right for everybody. And then there's different styles of masterminds. Again, I'm in the Titans Accelerator with Brian Kurtz. That's a great mastermind. It's entirely online. I've been in Baby Bathwater. I've been in other masterminds. Everyone has its pros and cons. So if you're part of the Liberty community, if you have a business that you're looking to grow, you know, check out Tom's mastermind, check out any other one. You know, you could really end up benefiting from it. So, all right, that's it for this episode. If you guys liked it, if you like this content, you want more of the live stuff on the road, I promise I'm upgrading the video equipment. I'm upgrading the audio equipment. It won't be so rough in the future, but like the channel, subscribe. If you're on iTunes, rate and review, it really helps me out. And I really, I thank you all for tuning in, and I wouldn't be here without you. So thanks a lot, and I'll see you next time. Stay free.
All right, everybody. I hope you enjoyed this episode. And as I say, if you feel like you belong in here with us, then check out tomwoods.com/mastermind. Fill out that form and let's find a spot for you. Thanks for listening, everybody.
Become a smarter libertarian in just 30 minutes a day. Visit tomwoods.com to subscribe to the show for free, and we'll see you next time.
Like the sound of the Tom Woods Show? My audio production is provided by Podsworth Media. Check them out at podsworth.com.